got to tell you this thing, right?
Please.
So I went, do you know the Peloton thing? So if anybody's listening, Ian and I have, and just also for context as well, this is the first time Ian and I have seen each other since Christmas.
Yes, but it is.
Anyway, so Ian's got a Peloton and your wife is just killing it, isn't she? She is like on this thing every single day, absolutely hammering it. And you are eternally guilty because how long did you do it for before you fell off?
Oh man. I mean, if anybody has the app, they could just go look. So I can't lie. And I just lost you for a second. Did you say that you've really been hammering it right now?
No, I said your wife has been so like, she's been on it. She's like on it every day, hasn't she?
Yes. Yes. And my mother and my father and my sister. So it is literally like my entire like close family, except for me, the black sheep, the lazy slug. That
but won't have you got the Peloton the app though?
Oh yeah, of course.
Log in every day,
dude. I have all the things. I've got the shorts, dude. I've got the shoes. I've got the water bottle. I mean, dude, it is just and you. I mean, my family died. So Scott sent me a photo of him next to the Peloton, next because you just got one, right?
I just got one for Christmas, yeah.
And I was like, oh, dear God, because I knew what it meant. I mean, now I have, like, it's just, if we're going to do this, we got to do this. And my family rolled, dude. They were laughing. They were like, oh, now you have no choice. And I mean, Emily, too. Emily was like, I mean, it's funny, but I kind of feel sorry for you because now you really don't have a choice.
Well, let me just make you feel better. Make you feel better. So okay, first please. Of all, I over Christmas, I have eaten and drank an insane amount of food and booze. That's all I did, basically. Yes, I was rolling around with a huge belly and drunk. All Christmas. my poor children. No, I only jest. But I did focus more on food and drink than fitness over the the Christmas break. So I didn't actually go on the Peloton over the. I was like, it's that I'm going to jump on it January. So anyway, so you know, walked past it a few times.
You know, took a look.
Nodded. You know, tried on the shoes a few times.
Yeah.
walked around like a bit of a witch.
Like the
anyway,
duck.
Yeah. So last night I was like, getting on, gonna do this.
Oh and yeah.
Lisa was like, do you think you're gonna be any good? I was like, dude. I used to cycle like miles every day. I used to cycle when I was younger. I used to do it was like 4 or 5 miles to work, 4 or 5 miles. I used to be a beast, right?
Crushing
and I was like, I'm just going to get back on there. It's just going to be like, you know, you've seen, you know, it's going to be back in the
oh,
saddle.
Yeah, back on the horse. So, let's go.
Dude.
It's not easy.
Well, whoa. Oh, dude, it was, I've got no idea. I fell off that thing after like 30 minutes and I was dying. I was dying.
Yes.
I thought my lung was going to pop out of, I thought one of them was going to pop out my mouth. You know, it was, my head was red. I had veins swelling out. I didn't even know there were veins there. It was like, I looked like, it was insane. And the girl who's cycling, she's like, not a drop of sweat. She's like, she's chatting away. She might
it's
as well.
Cool.
She could have been reading a book.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
She destroyed me. So,
yeah, she did. Yes, she did.
I think I've got some way to go. So sleep easy. Sleep easy, Mr. Allison.
Oh, man. I got to get back on. You know, it's funny, too, because my wife, right before the podcast, she's like, ask Scott what his username is because I want to follow him. And I'm like, I'm not sure that he's going to want to say what it is on the podcast. She's ask him if it's okay if I follow him. I mean, that's the other crazy thing is if you're public on it, it is not a people just can check out your rides.
Can they
see
check
your
it
numbers?
Out? Oh, no.
Oh yeah. Oh sure. But I mean, of course you can you know, you don't have to be, you know, at Scott Devine on Peloton.
I think I need to do it. Well, I haven't actually like Lisa set it all up, so I'm not sure what my name is or whatever.
Yeah.
So
oh yeah.
It'll probably be sort of like need to work harder, Devine or whatever, sort of like so I need to
I think it should be hard work. Heart of hard work.
But I'm going to, oh man, it killed me. It was ridiculous.
I remember the first ride I did too. Because of course your ego is in there, right? And you want to do well. And you're like, oh yeah, I've been on the bike a lot. This is going to be no problem. And then I remember getting off and just laying on the floor and like moaning. it's intense. It's intense.
Isn't it? Because, like, have you done any fitness other than that for, like, years? I haven't. Like, I really haven't. I think the last bit of fitness I did was maybe, it was a long time. It was, like, 10 years ago, probably. I got really into running. So I'd run sort of, 10K a few times a week. But that was 10 years ago. So almost maybe 8 years ago or something like that. So I've just not done anything like that. And I think my body was just in shock. It was like, what are you doing?
What are you doing to me?
Crazy headache as well. I could hear my heartbeat in my head. I was like, that's not good. So I'm going to nail it though, man. I'm going to nail it. I'm going to do it every day. I'm going to do it every day for the next 5 days and see how I feel after. See if I feel as bad as that first time.
Okay, I'll tell you what then. I am going to join you. I'm going to join you.
Do it, man. Let's do 5 days. I'm going to get my. I'll get my name from Lisa so we can follow each other.
Get your name. You got to set up your own profile. Yes, dude.
Are you bad? Are you bad?
Yes, I'm bad. Of course, I'm bad.
Goodness.
Yeah. I'm bad. Just don't follow. I mean, also, like, don't go follow my father, Bob Allison, who is 70 years old and murderous numbers. I mean, he's older than that. I mean, he's in his early 70s and he crushes. I mean, he's been riding heavy since he was in his late 30s and he's never stopped and he is a murderer on that.
Oh, so he's like super good. Yeah.
He's super good. He's super good. And so
benchmark, man. That's where we should be aiming for.
I cannot touch my old man's numbers. I mean, and it's crazy.
How long do you know when you went on? How long did you do? I thought 30 minutes was going to be a breeze.
It's not a breeze. What you'll find is that the shorter rides make you work harder. I actually think that the 45s are probably easier just in terms of the work is spread out. But if you think, I'm going to get in and do a quick 20, 20s are brutal.
Oh, really?
unless it's like a warm-up ride, right? Or something, or a cool-down thing or something you can take beginner rides. There's a lot of easy things. But if you just take like a 20-minute pop ride, it's murder. But then it's done.
This certainly wasn't a beginner ride. I was it was like we were out of the saddle. We having to pop up and down out the saddle.
What
is going on?
Do you remember who your instructor was by chance?
No, but I hate her. She was great when we started. I hate her now.
Oh, you're going to discover favorites. And I mean, oh, Scott, SBL and Peloton. Come on, dude. Wow.
I'm into it. I actually love the product. I think the product's really fantastic obviously an online subscription product. I have interest in online subscription products,
yes, you do.
And although it's learning, but I think they've done a great, great job. And I think that it's really interesting where they're going to take that business. It's obviously massive.
It's massive.
It's a colossal business.
Yes.
And I can't even imagine the complexity of a subscription business coupled with a hardware business as well, they're doing like that is like two separate things and they're doing both, right? So,
yes, it's wild,
wild. The more I get into business and learn about it, the wilder and more intimidating it really gets. It really does, yeah, I can remember sort of like sitting on my living room couch of like a few years ago thinking, why can't anybody fit like just do sort of like a fridge that just like when it's empty it like pings somebody and they get it gives you the delivery? Why can't that happen? Like surely that's simple. Surely that's simple. Like why can't Like, yeah, obviously that's going to happen. Like, that will happen. Yeah, smart fridge.
For sure.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
for it's sure. going to happen, isn't it? Amazon's going to have a smart fridge and they're going to, you know, it's going to be locked, you know, connected to your Amazon account. And it's just going to, oh, future's going to be wild.
I know, man. It'll be crazy. Yes. Yeah, where it sees you're out of the specific milk that you want and it asks you over the, you know, over the home whatever system, would you like me to reorder the half exactly and half that you prefer in your coffee? And you're like, yes, please.
Exactly that. Anyway, dude, what did you get up to over Christmas?
Oh, similarly, I mean, I drank a lot of coffee. Just copious, just like, I mean, I feel like whenever we're, you know, like Christmas is happening and we have people over, I'm just like, does anyone, I ask probably 5 times a day, like, anybody need coffee? Because it's just something I feel like I can do, like go make a pot of coffee. So dude, yeah. Just so much coffee and all the food. We do this thing on Christmas Eve we call snack tray. So we go the opposite. Instead of having a big fancy Christmas meal, we yeah. have all of our favorite foods that are like snack foods. So we do bacon wrapped water chestnuts called ramaki. We do lox yeah. and bagels. We do, you know, all this really fun kind of like snacky food that everyone can choose for themselves, which is super fun. And yeah, man, my sister was in town, which was great. And my dad was in town from Montana too, which was really cool.
Oh, amazing. And
it was great.
And yeah, were you hosting? Was everybody around your place?
Yep. Everybody was around the place.
Did your sister kick anybody's ass?
I mean, yes.
Does she just unleash the beast sometimes? Just for context, yeah. Ian's sister is some kind of like martial arts ninja stunt woman. She's a stunt woman, isn't she?
She is. Yep, she is. Yeah.
So she's been in sort of like The Walking Dead and a bunch of other yes, sort of like amazing. Yes.
It's so she fun to see.
She put that on her Instagram account. I was on her Instagram account the other day, like okay. over Christmas actually, and I was yep. like, why in her bio does it not tell me the films that she's been in?
Ooh, that's a great, I cannot wait for her to watch this and to see what she thinks about that. I think in the stunt community, if I had to hazard a guess, there's a thing of like, she doesn't want to feel too thirsty. Like, I'm sure she'd like to put it in her bio, but she's also around these kind of like old guard stunt people that are like, ah, nah, you know, like maybe that's not cool or, but I tend to agree. Like, put it out there. Put it out there, yeah. what you've done. Yeah.
Yeah, like if you're a bass player and you've played with, let's say, hypothetically, I've played with, like, Steve Vai, mm-hmm. Joe, let's say I'm Stu Hamm, right?
Yes,
and I've played with Steve Vai, Joe Satriani, and Tony McAlpin, or whatever.
Yep.
In my Instagram bio, I'd be like, bass nerd, dad, played with bum 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 bum.
Yes, I Rick also Cole. Love that. I mean, you just referenced Tony McAlpine. That is that just it shows the level of geeky relativity oh, yeah. records you were into. Remember relativity?
Oh yeah,
yeah, dude.
Oh yeah, dude. Dude, Tony McAlpine.
I know, monster for sure,
monster player. But yeah, she should put that in there.
That's yeah, okay.
Obviously. If she's listening, I do apologize. Maybe you shouldn't, but you should. I think, yeah. I mean, like, you should, because that's how people check people out, right? They're like, oh, what have they done? Oh, right, wicked. Otherwise, yeah. they're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Anyway, did she kick anybody's ass?
I mean, not physically, but mentally, she's an ass kicker, man. She's always about what she's doing. Yeah, she's thinking about her craft. She's also, she's like super, you know what she kicked ass at? Hanging out with my kids. that's like, she's so sweet to my kids. And my son Dashiell, who's 6, is just like, is Auntie P coming? Like, I just want to hang out with her. Her name's Paige. And, and so like whenever, you know, she'd come, he would just grab her and they would, you know, go do stuff. And so, yeah, man, that's how awesome she kicks ass.
Isn't it awesome when somebody comes around and they're great with your kids? We've got a friend like that. She comes around and I'm just like, yeah, she's just great. The kids are just sort of like, they love her and they just go play. I'm like, chill time.
Oh, I know. You're like, okay, I get a couple of minutes. Yes, I know. Yeah. I know that feeling. That's great, man.
Well, Should we get into today's topic, which is, I think that you came up with this, and I think it's a really great topic. And it's whether age matters or not.
Oh, yeah.
Does it matter? Like, I've got some really interesting stories on this. But before we get into that, like, what's I imagine it came to mind for you for a reason. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe somebody's messaged you about it. Like, where did the idea come from?
I get messaged about it a lot. People saying, and maybe we've even touched on this a little bit, but we've never really dove in. Diven?
It is now. Divin? Divin?
We've never divin. We haven't addressed the topic fully on the Scott and Ian show, but I get asked people when they come up to milestones, and no matter what that milestone is, if it's like, uh-oh, I'm about to have a child at whatever age, uh-oh, I'm about to be 25, uh-oh, I'm about to be 30, up 40, 50, 60. I get messaged a lot by people that say, I'm stressed because of milestone X. And I just want some perspective around how you think about that, or like, am I too old? So, right, like it's everything. Am I too old to make it? Am I too young to have anything to say? Uh-oh, if I have a child, will I no longer have any time? If I take this job, will I no longer have any time? Right. So, and it's I think it's about time, right? It's like feeling that stress.
It's running out.
It's running out.
But yeah.
And it is. I mean, it is running out for all of us, right?
Yeah.
But the level of stress we feel around that, I think, gets markedly increases around those milestones. So I find that that's when I feel it myself, and then I get asked about it around those markers. Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I guess with the sort of like, there's different, it's different for different people, isn't it? So it's for the people that, am I too young to, you know, have an opinion? That's maybe a different emotion than,
am I too old
to do something? Maybe.
But in a way, it's still about time, right? It's like, have I not been around long enough? Have I not earned my stripes? Have I not, you know, like, not enough time has passed. Do you remember when you were a kid thinking about, I wonder how long Victor Wooten's been playing the bass? And you would ask, remember when you were little and you would ask, like, people, how long have you been playing? Someone that was really good, and they'd say 10 years. And you'd think, all right, I've only been playing a year and a half. So in 8.5 years, I'm going to be as good or better than, remember that?
I absolutely did that. Yes. Yeah, because you kind of sort of like, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you want to gauge yourself against something. You're like, where's the benchmark?
Right.
You know, am I growing at a similar rate, a slower rate, faster rate? You want some kind of indication of like how fast you are growing, because I think that when you're learning a musical instrument, it's so freaking slow.
It's so slow
that you can play for like 6 months and be like, did I get any better?
Where has this time gone? Like, what has happened? Nothing. Yeah, right. It can feel that way for sure.
Yeah. Like, for instance, if you stood in one spot and you do a 180 instantly right round, you've done a 180. But if you're slowly moving at like a millimeter a day, you know what I mean? At some point, you're going to be thinking, have I moved from my original spot, or am I still in the original spot? It'd be weird, right?
Yeah.
So I definitely think that, I can definitely remember feeling that. And also, to your point, I can remember feeling that I couldn't speak up in certain situations because I was maybe young.
Yes.
Or had a lack of experience.
Yes.
And maybe that's, I think that that's sometimes true in a lack of, if you've got a lack of experience, it's sometimes true if you've got a lack of experience, but sometimes I think it's down to your personality type as well. Like, I've met some people that are obscenely confident when they're very young. Mm. And yes, maybe they did, you know, stick their neck out when they actually were underexperienced, like drastically underexperienced. But I think that, having that type of personality, and just to be frank as well, that's not my type of personality. Mm-hmm. I'm the opposite. I'm the sort of like scaredy cat that's sort of like scared to, or was when, certainly when I was younger.
I think I was that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little bit on the back foot all the time. Whereas I think that the individuals that can put themselves out there, even if they are underexperienced or whatever in different situations, they will have a, even though it might not have been the perfect thing to do at the time, mm-hmm. I think that it will, in the long run, in the aggregate of their life, it will serve them well sometimes, because yes, they're putting themselves out there,
yeah, right,
before waiting for the perfect moment. They'll probably they'll steam in, and some people might be a little upset about it, yes, or whatever. Ooh, he should have waited, or she should have waited, or who is this person? They're not experienced enough.
They don't get to have aggregate, this voice. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They will put themselves in situations, and it will pay off. So, for instance, I'm trying to think of somebody who might have that personality type when they were younger. I'm trying to think about like how not to offend somebody at the same time, you know. Okay.
I can't pull anybody up. Actually, but I feel like I do. I definitely know some people that were just like, oh, no, I'm going to do this. I mean, I do.
I'm just trying to not sort of like offend anybody. But let's say sort of like, you know, but I don't know them, but I would guess that just from seeing the way that they operate.
Yeah.
They're always going for it, and they're not waiting for approval from other people,
yes,
which is what it really comes down to.
Yes,
like what
permission.
When we feel like that, we're looking for permission and we're waiting for approval from an outside source, because we need that that kind of comfort to go do it, which in itself, even when I'm saying that, I'm just like, that is a bad situation to be in.
Yeah.
And I do feel like that now. I've mentioned it. I think I've talked about it in this podcast. I've talked about it to people on the team. I was joking about with it, with Phil, our director of ops. Shout out to Phil, who's a badass.
Yeah, Phil.
I was talking to Phil about it a few weeks back, saying it annoys the hell out of me that I sometimes feel like I need this sort of like acceptance, or this, you know, somebody to say, yeah, that's okay to feel like that. Or, you know, I'm just like, why can't I just feel like this just from here, from without needing that, needing somebody to sort of, I don't know, spoon feed me or like hold my hand, you know. Honestly, that's how I feel. I'm
sure.
Just like pissed off with myself for being like that. But for sure, somebody like, let's say, for instance, Steve Vai, who was like massively successful when he was like 18 or whatever.
Right.
And he went to Frank Zappa's house and he knocked on the door.
Yes.
And he was like, I'm Steve Vai. I've come to play in the Frank Zappa band, or whatever the story is.
Yeah, right.
He wasn't waiting for permission, you know.
Right.
Like
right.
He had the self-confidence to go and put himself out there. But if you rewind back in time, at some point, he'll have been crap.
Of course.
At some point.
Yes.
But his personality probably was still the guy who was actually going to put himself out there. So I think that it does serve people like that. So I think that I just note to self, I want to be more like that.
Yeah, me too. And I love that idea that in the aggregate, like there will be, I'm sure Steve Vai was like, I'm the greatest. And, you know, people are like, well, eye rolling at him when he was 14 and 15.
Yeah.
A bass player that comes to mind, I didn't obviously know him, but was Jaco, right? I mean, Jaco was that character
exactly.
in the bass world, right?
Exactly.
Like so outspoken. I mean, I heard stories of him going on stage later in his life and unplugging the bass, the cable from the bass player's bass, having a bass himself and plugging it into his bass. And suddenly he was the bass player.
Yeah.
And
I've heard those stories.
Right. And he just subbed you out, or like he was the depth, like literally on stage, grab the cable, plug it into his bass, and oh, now who's the bass player? that is insane. I mean, can you ever imagine yourself, Scott, like going up to John Patitucci and honestly unplugging his cable and plugging it into your P bass? I mean,
well,
it's just, it's absurd.
When Jaco was, when he first met Joe Zawinul, he said, hey, he said his full name. I think of Jaco Pastorius, the whatever, like he said his full name. And he said, I'm the greatest bass player in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like 24, 25 or something at that point. And you know what? Even if he was, you know, that's like, even if somebody else was, they might not have had that. If I was, I certainly wouldn't have had the personality to say it.
Sure.
But him, his personality, the self-confidence and just balls of it probably gave him, it probably was a huge part of him being able to actually become the greatest bass player
right.
in the world.
He needed that.
Yeah.
Yes. And he believed it in himself, or at least he really did a great job at like portraying that character and embodying that confidence. And I mean, I've watched a bunch of stuff with him. There's been a few things that have popped up on YouTube recently of him with Jeff Berlin hosting a thing like at MIT.
And
it's so, I'd never seen that before. And it's just fascinating. And he's pretty open and he's willing to answer questions. But he's also so confident and intimidating in a way that is like, woo. I mean, this dude is, it's intense. And so it's not like we're sitting here necessarily recommending that you be more like Steve Vai or Jocko, or that you embody those characteristics specifically. But it's that maybe, I guess for me, I'm saying when you look at characters like that, it can be more inspirational for you to go, gosh, maybe I need a little more self-confidence in my interactions. Maybe I could stand to, because I mean, obviously Steve Vai is still alive and well, but Jocko, I mean, there were some demons, not necessarily associated with his confidence, but there was addiction. There was mental health issues that were not addressed in his life that were really ultimately, I think probably led to, or helped lead to his demise. So sad.
Yeah, sure.
So we're not saying at all costs be, you know, walk up there and unplug people's basses, you know. but
you do, let us know how it went. We would love to know.
I would love to know. Yeah. So that's that youthful thing, right? That's that thing of like, oh, I don't know if I, and I've maybe mentioned this before, but it bears repeating that, even if you're 22 years old and you don't think you have anything to say, I would encourage you to lean into your perspective. Everyone has their own perspective. If you're going to music school during COVID, if you live in a certain town where there's a certain music scene, if you like a certain type of music that you don't feel like is getting its due, look, it's not so much about your age and your lack of experience, but it's about what you're into. And if you're into something that you are excited to talk about, that is, you have permission. You don't need permission, but you have the ability to talk about anything that you want to talk about, regardless of your youthfulness or lack, you know, quote unquote, lack of experience. If you like it, you're passionate about it, you feel good at it, you feel like it's bubbling out of you that you want to talk about it or play it or share your perspective, you can and should, I think. What do you think about that?
Yeah, for sure. I just think, just don't wait for permission.
Yeah.
And it will be reinforced, the feeling of waiting to be reinforced, or needing that reinforcement or needing the permission, will probably stem from your childhood and or a mix of the personalities around you. So, and I've become more self-aware about the need for permission, which I'm really trying to get out of. As I've become more self-aware of that manifesting itself in me, I've also become more aware of behavior in people around me that might lead to me manifesting that. So let me just unpack that for a minute. Meaning that when people around you are, they look at somebody on, let's say, Instagram, and they something like, oh, man, this guy's a total dick, dude. Like, he's always on Instagram doing this thing, whatever. And it could be said in like half-hearted or jokingly or whatever. Now, what your brain then does is without you even knowing it, is drop this seed of doubt.
Yes.
If I put myself out on Instagram, am I going to be the dick?
Right.
Are people going to say that about me?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that really, like, that is – So I think that, or on YouTube or whatever, on the gig, you know, whatever experience it is. But when you hear people around you sort of like calling people out for doing whatever, you know, I heard that gig, man, it was terrible. So just any kind of like negativity about other people, if you've got anybody around you that, and you probably will do, because I think that there are definitely a lot of characters, unfortunately, out there like this,
right,
that for whatever reason need to make them feel better about their situation and by being negative about other people, how that manifests in you is that then you start to become scared of putting yourself out there because you've heard other people getting, you know, being put down. So I think that, yeah, twofold, just like don't be waiting for permission, but also be aware of like in yourself, but also be aware of the people you're around, and how they influence how you think about yourself and the actions that you're going to take. So, and just to finish this as well, because I think it'd be really helpful to give you an example of this, is that when I was starting Scott's Bass Lessons, I had to go onto the internet and do the whole thing, right, and put myself out there, go onto forums and, you know, and do the whole thing. And for whatever reason, serendipity or whatever, a bunch of my friends at the time that I was hanging around with actually went on cruise ships and or went on tours. Yes. And there was this whole kind of sort of like space, and there was like a 6 month to 8 month space in my calendar where a lot of people I was hanging around with actually left. And it kind of left me kind of sort of like, hey, what am I going to do? You know, and it just coincided with this, oh, maybe I need to go online and do something. I believe that if that situation hadn't occurred, and it had given me that break from the regular guys and girls I was hanging around with at the time, I might not have done SBL.
Right.
Because I think that just because the way people are, you know,
you're hanging like with your friends.
And they're just sort of like, oh, dude, are you still doing that YouTube thing? Oh, like, come on. And all it needs is these little... It's like Chinese water torture, right? You don't think it's a big thing, right? But these little drips of negativity can actually feed into you and really hold you back from going for some of the stuff that you should be going for.
Yes. And when I had that, I mean...
You had it with IG, right?
Absolutely. When I turned 40, I mean, you know, so talking about, you know, we'll start to talk about the other side, right? So it's like, you know, not needing permission when you're younger, you have perspective. And then, but when you start to feel old, right, then it starts, there's this thing inside you that starts to bubble up, or at least for me, when I turned 40, I went, uh-oh, midlife crisis, or as I have a friend who says, no, it's an awakening, and I love that very much. I felt like, oh, I need something I can control, and I need, and what that was for me was really trying to be me, unapologetically me, on the internet. Yeah. And that sounds simple, but that is not simple, right? To get over yourself and get over what the people are going to think. And I had friends, I mean, I think I've told you this before, Scott, but I had friends that I actually preemptively messaged and said, I'm about to do a thing and you may not like it, and it's okay. Okay if you don't follow me. It's okay if you don't, you know, text me after a post and say, cool, I like what you're doing. because you know, I am a creature, like you, Scott, I wait for validation. I want people to say, oh, good job. I like the claps, right? I wish I didn't. Blech. Kind of feels gross to admit. But I do. I like when people say, hey, man, oh, I like that thing you did, versus like, you know, no one saying it. And then it starts to get at my self-confidence, right? But I found that it was the pressure had been building for so long in me that when I went over that threshold and decided to try to be me and to create the content, regardless of other people's opinions, it was incredibly freeing. And even when people have been negative of like, oh, you know, I don't like the way you do this, or, oh, because you're so nerdy, that's going to keep you from X, Y, and Z. I had a friend tell me that in Minneapolis that I do sessions with, that, oh, I see the way you are, and that's going to keep you from these circles. And the amazing thing to me was to actually be in a place to think, actually, very honestly, oh, well, then I don't want to be in those circles because I'm being me.
Yeah.
And man, that is freedom. That's freedom. Like you know?
I think it really is. It really is. And I think the age thing is, I guess it's just, it's in our minds, right? It really is. I think it's in our minds. And I think that we've got a real strange, and maybe it comes out of that, the emotion you were talking about earlier when you were saying about measuring against people. How long have they been playing? 8 years. Okay, I'm cool. Because that definitely happens. And maybe that then manifests into, is it too late?
Uh-oh.
You know, is
it
too late?
Has my time run out? Yes.
Has my time run out? Yeah. And to that, I want to, I guess, just share two quick, super quick stories of just friends.
Yes.
And this is to do with playing. So a really great friend of mine picked up his first upright bass in his 40s.
Oh, wow.
So he played sort of like, kind of just sort of like punk bass, like slap stuff, liked Flea and like all of that stuff. And he got into jazz and upright bass in his 40s.
Amazing.
And just went full bore. And became great and became one of the most used upright bass players in the area that he
lived
and the whole thing. And he was like, yeah. And he was in his 40s and he's got a beautiful character. And one thing that is very interesting about this individual is that he does not wait for permission.
Mm.
He's definitely one of these guys that's sort of like, he's always like pushing himself.
Yeah.
And in his 40s, he took up upright bass. He learned all about jazz and harmony and melodic minor scales and all of that craziness. And
yes.
He was just into it. He's getting lessons from some of the best bass players in the world over Skype.
Oh,
he's like in his 40s. Cool. And now he's in his 50s. He's in his 50s now and he's killing it. And he also did the same thing about fitness. He was just became sort of like super fit. Like, so the age thing is really, it's bullshit. It really is. And interestingly, I was listening to a YouTube video recently of somebody. I really dig their YouTube channel. It's like a business channel. And this guy's a complete machine, but he mentioned something about when he gets to like 40 that he said, it was something like, I'm going to butcher it, but he said sort of like, I've got all of this money now, but when I get to 40, I better give it all up to be 30 again. I was listening to it. I was like, no freaking way, dude.
Yeah, no.
I won't go back to 30 again. No. I absolutely love 40. And
me
I think
too.
To your point or your friend's point, it is, at least for me, it has been an awakening. It's like, oh, it's actually been amazing. It made a little easier that 40 years old in this day and age is very different to 40 years old in the 50s, right?
Yes.
When, I mean, average life expectancy was like 65 or whatever, and you were looking at, you know, that whole thing. So I think it is just, it's an illusion. Age is an illusion. And I think that, the other story that I wanted to share as well, and I haven't got his name and I can't tell you exactly the age he was, but I can remember there's a teacher at the Royal Northern, or was a teacher, an upright, classical upright player, who teaches at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester, which is like one of the badass schools to go to in the UK.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine was doing his master's degree over there, and he was like, the bass teacher, he said, is just incredible. He was like a European guy that got him over from Europe. I can't remember what country. I think he was sort of Hungarian or something like that. And I saw him play, and he was a machine. Like when you see these classical upright players.
Oh, dude, it's bananas. Yes.
It's bananas, yeah.
Yes.
And he started playing in his 30s.
Really?
Oh,
this classical player?
Yeah. And
wow.
he was like late 40s. He started playing bass in his 30s.
That is
and
crazy.
He was a machine. And he was a machine and like world famous. So it just goes to show that the age thing, it's an illusion. It really is. Like, and there's other people that I know as well that not just in music, but who are in other avenues of their life. One in particular who's a business guy that I follow, who is just honestly has more energy than you and I and probably a bunch of our friends combined.
Yeah.
He's a machine. He's just so on it, and he's 63.
Wow.
And he jokes about it. When he's interviewed, he's like, dude, keep up.
He's like, I'm 63. How old are you? Yeah. That's great.
He's just, so I think that we just maybe like with the age thing, we carry a lot of baggage with us.
Yes.
And it kind of slows down and manipulates the way that we feel about our age. There's probably a lot of other things going on under the surface because it really is an illusion. If you just look at a block of time, a block of time, right? If you are sort of like, you know, 15 and you take, could you become a badass player from 15 to when you're like 25?
Yes,
of course you could, right? 15 to 25. So could you become a badass player from 35 to 45? Yes. What about a badass player from 45 to 55? Yes. It's just an illusion. And some people might be like, well, you learn slower. I guess you might do, but there's definitely studies online that show that it's not a huge decrease
in
learning ability.
I think that I have been thinking about this in the classic sense of, if you didn't start violin when you were four, guess what? You're never going to do it. Or, you know, I have friends and I remember when I started to play the bass when I was 13, my dad started to play the guitar. He'd always wanted to play the guitar, and he got a guitar, and he was 40, and he had just turned 40. So he was entering this zone that I entered 3 years ago when I turned 40. I'm going to do something. And he was, I would always pick up his guitar and be able to play the things that he was assigned on his lesson. And I was hoping that he'd be like, oh, good job. But he was just like, oh, so sorry, Dad. I just wanted you to be proud of me. But I remember kind of thinking, and the narrative that built for me was like, well, no, you do like sports. Like, you're never going to be a world-class athlete. You know, you're never going to be a world-class basketball player if you start at 40. And then I wondered if the same thing was true about an instrument. I think it is easier because your brain, maybe this is it. What do you think about this? It's easier when you're younger because you're not telling yourself negative things. You're not saying, oh boy, you haven't had these narratives built. It's like skateboarding when you're a kid. You're like, who cares? I'm not going to get hurt, you know, or whatever. And then you do, but you're already in it. And I wonder if it's similar. Like, you don't know how hard playing an instrument is going to be. So you just kind of start. But when you're 40, you know how hard it's going to be. You know,
I think that's it. I think that it comes down to definitely sort of your mental, I guess, kind of the way you're thinking about it and the way that you're positioning it to yourself. But also, I think that it comes down to what you have going on in your life at that time. I think that's a big deal.
Of course.
You probably, a lot of people have got kids and a lot of people have got
a job,
full-time jobs and shit like that. So I think that is where it becomes more difficult, but it still can be done.
Yes.
Don't use age as an excuse. I mean, because there's people that did it and have done it. Look at Rick Beato.
Oh, that's a great example.
Biggest music creator. I think, well, obviously.
YouTuber. Yeah. Right.
YouTube. Like, obviously there's Davey 504.
Right.
Who is more like so let's say this then. Like Rick Beato has got the largest YouTube educational channel on the platform, and I think that he started in his well into his 50s,
right.
You know, and I think, and at the time there would absolutely have been, you know, 20-year-olds sitting there having conversations about maybe it's too late to get into YouTube, and like Rick came along and just like drove over them. Oh, yes. What was that?
just a bump in the road. Back axle,
Roadkill.
Yeah,
but
wow.
Yeah, he just sort of like, he just came out of nowhere and he was just sort of like, what a fantastic.
I remember that.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that guy just blows me away. Blows me away. Well, just a machine.
And a thing that I answer when people ask if they're too old, the thing that I always want to tell people is I didn't get my first quote unquote real gig until I was 36. Now, I had been in a bunch of different local bands and played with people and done a little bit of touring even. And, but I didn't get my first, what I wanted to do is I was really endeavoring to be a professional side musician. So, you know, playing for an artist, being on the road, hopefully playing on the records, being on a tour bus, like that lifestyle sounded really good to me. And that's what I was aiming for after my band, my like boyhood, high school band had sort of fizzled. So I had these new sights and it took me a long time. And I wasn't 30, I was 36. And that, I think when people are 28, 36 just seems like you're dead. I remember in your late 20s thinking about like, oh, okay, like late, like mid to late 30s just felt like, oh no. Right.
Yeah,
and, I mean, you know, and things didn't start to pop off for me online too until I was into my 40s. I mean, I was 40, 41 years old. And I'm not claiming to have, oh, well, now I'm, you know, this big successful, but I have achieved some goals that I set out to achieve later in my life than I think.
You nailed it, dude.
Well, yeah, like later in my life than I would have expected as a 20 something, right?
Yeah.
So patience, that's one thing I want to say too, is like you have time. If you're sitting around and you're 28 or you're 32 or you're 45 and you still haven't done the thing, just as long as you're working towards it and it's making you happy and you have a goal, it is worthy of continuing that pursuit, wouldn't you say?
Oh, man, like patience is probably one of the most key attributes to this, isn't it?
Yes.
I think that with anything, so when playing bass, I think it's great because we're all impatient. That's yes. the
we want it. Go. Or we,
at least we yeah, at least we have that in us, yes. right? We want it now, and I think that like a lot of the students that we've got at SBL, when I speak to them, I'm like, we'll be talking about a technique change, and I'm like, so I really want you to change this technique that you're doing here. I want you to drop your wrist down. I want you to do this thing. And then like, it's probably not going to feel comfortable for like, you know, probably 3 months.
Right.
And they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's going to take 3 months. Right. That's how long it takes. You know, right. It takes 3 months because of the, you're changing sort of like neural pathways and how you position playing the instrument and stuff like that. It just takes a long time. And then, you know, extrapolate that out over getting better. Like people want to get better really fast. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's going to take time. I think that, it's interesting. I wondered how much time it does take. I would say like, because obviously there are interesting cases where people have accelerated learning, you know, these kids that are sort of like 9 years old and they're fantastic players, but it's not the normal.
Right.
It's not the normal. For normal people, it's much longer than that. Like I started playing when I was 13. Mm-hmm. Like for me, it was maybe, I used to practice a lot. I was like, maybe it was like 5 years.
Sure.
Until sort of like I could play some cool stuff.
Right.
And then until I could actually work as a competent musician and I understood harmony and stuff like that. And I just, you know, oh, it's a 2-5-1, stuff like that. It was a decade.
Yes.
It was 10 years
right.
before, you know, and I'm sure that people can do it faster, but I did practice a lot and it took me 10 years. So yeah, you need patience. So, and it goes back to what I was saying, you know, could you get great from 15 to 25? Yeah. And it's, if you're willing to dedicate 10 years of your life to something, like really dedicate it, just like, you know, where you're here with these, you know, these individuals that just sort of like, they're going to the gym sort of like 4 or 5 days a week and they're sort of like nailing it and they do that for years and years. Same deal with a musical instrument. If you want to become great,
that's right.
It's probably Can you dedicate a decade to it?
Yeah. And I think about that in terms of language too. Like, think about trying to learn a foreign language, like in school, you know, you hear so many. I mean, for me, I had 6 years of Spanish in high school and college, and I'm still garbage at speaking Spanish. I mean, you know, because I didn't immerse myself. But even think about English speakers or whatever language is your primary language. Obviously, for Scott and I, it's American and English.
Yeah, right. Man, I struggle with English, dude.
I'll tell you a
funny
English
story. Yeah. Dude, I was born in 1978, so when I was doing my, it's called GCSEs here, so it's just sort of like high school exams. So you had to choose what things you were going to study at 13 years old. And you would study them for 2 years or 3 years or whatever, and you would take your exams when you're like 16. So it's called your options. So my options came up. Mm-hmm. And the year that I had to take my options was the year that it was compulsory to take a language.
Oh, sure.
At school. And I was the only kid in my entire school where the teachers actually like snuck me through, because it was the first year it was compulsory.
Oh, crazy.
I was so bad.
Yes.
They were just like, come on. Let him go. Divine, you can't do a language. You can't do a language.
Oh.
All I can remember, 3 years of German, all I can remember is I can say, Ich bin elf Jahre alt, which is I am 11 years old. That's it. That's all I've got.
Oh, that's incredible. 3 years. Yeah. Well, you know, part of it too is that you didn't probably care. You weren't going to bed at night, you know, wondering how you could construct that beautiful paragraph in German. Right. I mean, I think right. That's like, you know, all the language teachers would say, oh, you got to get to a country because the immersion is going to be such a big deal, you know? And so like that musical immersion that Victor talks about, Victor Wooten, of, you know, growing up in this family, and someone put a bass in his hands. But I mean, you know, I was just thinking about that with speaking the language that you speak from birth. It takes you about 10 years to kind of have it together, doesn't it?
It does.
Like, you know,
it does,
like, you know, I mean, like my 6-year-old is fluent, but there's still stuff that's rocky. You know, there's stuff
Absolutely.
That's rocky.
My 8-year-old's the same. Sure, yeah. It's about 10 years, isn't it? So maybe it's not the 10,000 hour rule that Malcolm Gladwell wrote about. Maybe it's the 10 year rule.
Okay. But let me ask you this then. Okay. So if that sounds totally daunting, if someone's listening to this podcast, like, what? Do you think there are learning systems? I mean, this is such a leading question, but do you think something like SBL or something like a guided, if you love it and you're guided well, can the time decrease?
Can you accelerate learning? Yeah, for sure. Like, for sure. And I think that that's why you're seeing these kids that are insane now. I think that it's just online. I think that you can, because you've got just an abundance of information that you can plug into.
Yeah.
You know, it's not sort of like, I can remember thinking, it sounds so stupid, but I can remember thinking, what do you play over an altered chord?
Yeah.
And,
oh, totally.
And I can remember thinking I can remember thinking that for maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have anybody to ask.
Right.
I just didn't. You know, I had a library and VHS tapes.
Yeah, and it felt
that was
so
it, right?
fuzzy. Yes.
So if it's not in the library and it's not on a VHS tape, I don't know.
Right.
So, whereas now you sit down, you're like, what's playing over an altered chord?
Yes, right.
Tons
of stuff comes up, yes. Almost to a detriment, right? Like almost an information overload. There's so much. Now you can find it so easily that you can see anybody talking about how to play over an altered chord, right? And maybe then that becomes the Netflix, right? Of like, there's so many options. It's option anxiety. I don't know what to choose, right? I mean, there's that too.
There is, yeah. And I think that that's a drawback as well. So I think that that's where things like SBL come in, because it gives you all of the information that you need all in one place. So you got that instant access without having to search through reams of information, of which some will be bad. And I'm a big user of online education as well. So for instance, when it comes to business, I have bought a gazillion courses to do with business, because there's three options, yeah, right? Have a problem, don't solve the problem, you know, and just be like, oh,
yeah,
I've got this problem, I don't
moan
know how to
about
do
it.
Moan about it, don't do anything about it, right? Option two is go on to online and trying to find blog posts that are written about it and YouTube videos that are written about it, and spend a, in my experience, inordinate amount of time trying to, you know, sort of like pull all of these resources together that unfortunately are full of holes. Mm-hmm. And because YouTube isn't a learning platform, it's more of an entertainment platform. It does have learning materials on there, but they're not sequential, and it's just a bit of a nightmare. So what I do is I go and try and find a course that covers everything that I need to know all in one place,
right?
Because that's how I'm going to get from point A to point B way faster than dicking around with sort of like a bunch of videos. So that's like personally how I do it. I'm thinking about something recently that we're going to be trying to do in the business this year, and I was talking to one of the team, I was talking to Kevin about it, and I was like saying, oh, we're gonna be trying to do this thing, and Kev said like, I don't know anything about that stuff, and I was like, dude, I know nothing about it either. But I'm gonna figure it out,
right?
And then, but now I didn't get into it in that conversation, but in my mind I was thinking, because I'm gonna find a course that tells me how to do it. gonna go find it.
And I love that about you. I love that you don't feel daunted by that. Or it seems to me, because I've learned this about you, where you're like, I don't really know, it's not really my thing, so I'm not gonna do it. You're almost the opposite. You're like, it's not really my thing, so I'm gonna learn how to do it. And it's inspiring, man. It's really cool. Man. And so you find that stuff mostly through online courses.
Yeah. Like I've grown SBL through through a lot of geeking out and following people, but a lot of online courses, like checking out online courses and just applying the stuff that they're, and sometimes you'll watch like a full on, like, you know, 4 or 5 hour course or something, and you'll get 3 little bits from it.
Yeah.
It's worth it from the 3 little bits. And I actually used the same methodology when I was buying CDs when I was a kid. I had no money, man. I was living in Leeds.
Yeah.
I was squatting in a flat. Yeah. You know, I didn't even have I was in a bad place. But I used to go to the CD shop and I'd spend my like last few pounds on buying a CD. But in my mind, I was like, if I get this CD and I learn just one cool thing from it, that it was worth the 12 quid that I had to spend on it.
Yeah, right.
So that's how I just sort of like justified it in my mind. And was. And I'll tell you what, I used to go home and get them CDs on, and I used to learn that shit.
Yeah, dude.
Because I'm trying to get an ROI on that 12 quid, right? I'm trying to get, you know, I'm trying to get my investment back. And that's how I learned a lot.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Right. Because when you put yourself out there, when you make the investment, whether it's a CD or whether it's an online course, or it feels like, okay, there's then some accountability, right? Maybe accountability is the wrong word.
Yeah.
It's just, you feel like, well, I need to get my money's worth. I think, you know, it's skin in the game.
Absolutely. And I think that maybe that plays into Spotify and why I don't use that as much as I should do, because I'm paying sort of like, you know, whatever it is, 9 quid a month or something. Like, that's free. When you're buying sort of like one CD that has like 10 tunes on it.
Do you remember, it would just be in your car player? Like, for me, when I would buy a CD, it would be in my car player for months. And then I would just learn. Yeah. I would just know that record. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love that, man. I miss it, man. There's some records where I just know every single little intricacy of the record.
Me too.
All the hits and stuff. And because I've just listened to it so much, I know what the drummer's doing and what the bass player is doing. I love that, man. I could do that all day long. Dude, should we call it?
have we given the people the secrets? We told you, age.
I feel like we've given them the
age ain't nothing but a number, baby.
It's an illusion.
Yeah,
it's an illusion, man. An illusion. We need to sort of like, I was going to say step into the Matrix, but you need to... Would you step out of the Matrix or into the Matrix? What would you do?
That's a good question.
When's the new Matrix film out?
Yeah, I feel like, is it out? Maybe it's not out. I don't know. Hey, quick, before you go, I have to ask you, have you watched The Book of Boba Fett, my Star Wars enthusiast friend?
I've done the first episode.
Is
there many more episodes out?
No, there's just a second one out currently. Currently, at taping of this podcast, there's a second episode. I want you to watch it so badly because I want to talk to you about it.
Dude, Story got up at quarter to six this morning.
Yeah.
Came into my bedroom and he was like, Daddy. I was like, huh? He was like, Daddy. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, what time is it? He was like, it's nearly 6 o'clock. I was like, nearly 6 o'clock? What are you doing?
Right.
I was like, why are you up? And he was like, Book of Boba Fett.
I love this story. Loves it. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, let's do it.
Oh, that's awesome. So you watched the first episode.
So we go up and... Yeah. No. Today was going to be the second episode. So like got the sleep out of my eyes.
Yeah.
Sat down.
Yeah.
Put it on. It's ready. We're about to hit play.
Yeah.
And my daughter wandered through.
Oh.
And she's like six. I was like, oh.
It's a little dicey. Yeah. It's a little dicey.
It's a little dicey.
Yes. And it's funny because my daughter, who is 10, is the crazy Star Wars fan. I mean, you know, I'm crazy, but she's even deeper maybe. And so we love it. We watch it. But my son Dash, who is also six, just a little. Yeah. It's maybe not for a 6 year old. But
yeah, like Winter did watch the first episode, but I was like,
I know. It's like a little, I can't.
Well, maybe I wasn't, maybe my wife was. I've definitely been watching stuff on TV before, and I'm like sitting there with both kids, one on either side. I've got my arms around them.
Yes.
And something will be happening on the TV, and I kind of like look over, and like Lisa's like, I don't think that's cool.
Are we failing as parents right now?
Yeah. Trying not to. Dude, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch Dudes, it. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm going to be all over it. Dudes, if you've enjoyed this episode, thanks so much for hanging out. Obviously, we'll be back with you next week with all of the good stuff as always. Like the podcast if you're listening to on iTunes. I'm not sure what the heck you do if you're on Spotify, but maybe there's a way of liking it on Spotify as well.
I think so.
But yeah. Is there a way?
I think you can put a heart on it.
Put a heart on it.
Put a heart on
it. Anyway, dudes, yeah, take it easy, guys. See you in a bit. Bye.
Cheers, everybody.